Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeur, and the message today is titled, The Comfort of Being Baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. And so I'd like to talk with you today about being baptized in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to ask especially about that is, do you in your lives draw strength and comfort from your being baptized in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you recall it? Do you think about your baptisms? Do you set it before you? Do you fix your eyes upon baptism for your comfort and assurance through the troubles of life as well as the good days? Or do you not do that? Does it like never come to mind? Do you hardly ever think about it? Is it just something that happened long ago in the past and really is never something presently you put before you to draw strength from? Well, today let's take a look at what God teaches us about that, about the comfort and the assurance in your faith, in your standing before God, of His favor towards you in Christ, and of all the help and comfort and strength and confidence you can have with Him in your life by means of it, by your baptism in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in His name. So let's take a look at that today and see what God would teach us by His Word. First, let me just ask, do you think that most people think about their baptisms a lot? No, I'd say, I mean, there might be varied answers in that depending on your group, but most people don't think about their baptisms like hardly at all. Why? Well, number one reason is because we tend to forget everything, don't we? You know, we're going into a room and we don't even know how we got there. Why am I here? So we forget a lot of stuff. That's one. But secondly is a lot of Christians don't think of their baptisms rightly. They know it was a significant event, but they don't really think of it as something that has force and power and great might attached to it. It's significant to be sure, but not so much. You know, because a lot of Christians and other denominations will look at baptism, you know, look at this baptism with water as being something that you do for God, rather than God coming to do something for you. And so they look at it as not so much salvation being worked for you, or a washing of your sins, or a rebirth, or the Holy Spirit gifted, or the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and such things. But rather, it's going public with your faith. You ever hear that, about that? It's an outward sign of an invisible inward reality. It's just something I do for God. And so if baptism is only something that you do for God, well, how much power is it really in it? I mean, it is significant. They'll say it's significant, but if it's what I've done for God rather than what He's done for me, what kind of power really is there in it, in my deeds, in my works, in what I've done in obedience to His command to be baptized? That's the way they look at it. You know, being a sailor, you all know, I always think in nautical terms. Picture yourself, you're a ship at sea, and all of a sudden the waters become turbulent. Dark, threatening clouds roll in, and the rain begins to torrentially downpour upon you, or it's a dense, deep fog, or it's a dark night at sea, and the waves are tremendous, and you're looking for some sort of comfort and assurance in your time of trouble. Would you look, peering out into the night sky, into the horizon, into the darkness, to look for a lighthouse that had no light or power on it? Would you do that? No. If you look to your baptism and it's just a lighthouse that really has no power because it's your works you did for God, I mean, some significance, but There's no sweeping light out there. There's no light really on. It's not a forceful, powerful thing. There's no horn calling to you. Well, why would you even look? Well, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, why would they look to their baptism if it is an insignificant thing, or at least not mighty and powerful with a flashing light and shining to you and blasting a horn and saying, woo, woo, and calling to you for comfort and assurance in your storm? So let's take a look then. Is baptism something that we do for God? Is it only have that kind of power in it? Or is it something that God comes to do for us in order to do mighty things for us, to which we can look in the storms of our life and the dark night sky and the tremendous waves and look out and see, there it is, the lighthouse, my baptism flashing and saying, saved and redeemed, and flash and whoo, you are in the favor of God in Christ. Let's take a look. Does baptism have power? Is there might in it? Well, let's consider, first of all, this question. Is the power of it based upon God's name? What are we baptized in? In the name, I baptize you, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What kind of power is there in a name? Shakespeare said that, right? What's in a name? But when it comes to the name of God, there's always power where his name is. Amen, Vivian? Think about this. You are baptized, when you were baptized, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. What do we read in the scriptures about God's name? Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. A strong tower, like a lighthouse. Power in it. Psalm 124 says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We read in Romans chapter 10, Paul, he's quoting Joel chapter 2, and he says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's power in the name, friends. Power in the name of God. Wherever God's name is, there is authority, force, and power. So if you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, indeed there must be power there for you to look to. Secondly, consider this. When we were commanded to baptize, we baptize how? I baptize you. Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the word for in is the word eis, E-I-S, in the Greek, if you put it into English. And it means not only in the name, but also into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Were you baptized, Wendy? When you were baptized, were you baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? What's that mean? That means you came into a new relationship with God through your baptism. Just like Beth, if you will, when she married me, you could kind of, in an earthly way, say she was baptized into my name. Because she didn't, I didn't take on her name, she took on my name. She was Beth Rowan, and then she became Beth Lysier. And she came into a new relationship with me. It was a new intimacy, a covenant of faithfulness, of love, of fidelity, loyalty, care, love, grace. This is what God does for us in baptism. We're baptized in his name, authority, and into his name for a new relationship. Would you say it's powerful? Are you feeling a storm today in your life? Not quite sure about how things are going? What is my standing before God? Oh, the storms of life. I wonder, this is a lighthouse, God says, full of a flashing light and strength for you throughout your life to look to and find new courage. Well, then, let's consider then, is it really a work we do for God, or is it a work God does for us? Do you do something in baptism? Yeah, you do, kind of. Yes, you do. I mean, as an adult anyway, you come to baptism. And then you confess your sins, renounce the devil and his works and ways, and then you call on Jesus' name for salvation. So there are things that we do. That's great, for sure. But is it also, and even better, the work God does for us? You know what This Bible, Scripture, teaches us that every time, pretty much, you hear of baptism, it's God who is the subject of the action verb doing something for you. And if God is doing it, then what might and power there is flashing to you through the night to encourage you of what he's done there for you. So what has God done for us in baptism? Let's take a look. You ready? Yeah?
Yep.
All right. All right, let's open up together. Okay, we're together in this 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter the Apostle says these very things of baptism. He says, God's patience waited in the days of Noah. So let's get a boat out. Here's a boat. I had to take the sails off to make it look like Noah's Ark, okay? God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. Then he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience. In other words, forgiveness. A free conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. So the first thing we know about baptism, the power of God at work here, is God, Peter says, baptism now saves you. Obviously, it's not you saving yourself. You can't save yourself. It's God who's saving you in these waters, in his name. Isn't that fantastic news? Because it means he's brought you aboard his ark, the ark of Jesus Christ of salvation. Isn't that a strong confidence for you? You know, we as Christians, I think we should know we're saved. And most days we're like, yeah, I'm for God and God's for me, and isn't this great? It's a clear day. But you know what? Not every day is like that. Sometimes we get and the waves kind of start to come up and you see the billows and the gale force winds start to blow, and then the clouds turn dark and the devil attacks. He does. He tempts us and he accuses us. And the storm clouds just rage and the darkness of the night closes in, and you might say, oh, I wonder, am I really saved? What is my standing before you, God? Oh, I don't know if I'm really destined for heaven. Am I like those outside the ark who were destined to die and be doomed at the judgment of the world in the days of the flood? Oh, God, will I be saved? Well, what's God say to you? He says, look to the lighthouse. Remember what I've done for you there. It's sweeping and saying, flash, saved, flash, saved, flash, saved. Woo! You're mine and I am yours. Isn't that a great thing? Because it says, baptism now saveth thee, says the Apostle Peter. So we're saved when the gospel is preached. That's called a means of grace. I preach to you the gospel. Christ saved us there. I preach it to you. You believe and you're saved the moment you believe. But baptism is also called a means of grace through which God brings his salvation to you personally, immerses you in it, brings you aboard the ark, closes you in, shuts the door behind you, and says you are saved. So draw strength from your baptism is my point. Comfort and assurance. Salvation is worked there for you. Marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let's look at another one here, okay? Secondly, baptism. God does this for you. He actually really washes you of your sins. Where do we read this in the scriptures? Let's take a look at Ephesians 5, where, notice the subject of the verb. Ready, Ginger? You ready for this? Here's the quiz. Put you on the spot. Who's the subject of the verb? Do you wash yourself? Or does Jesus wash you? Ready? Husbands. Good, you already get the answer. The good Lutheran, she jumps right to the answer. Now, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus gave himself up for her, having that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Who's the subject again? Jesus, What does he do for his church? He washes her of her sins. That's what God says he does for you. Can't you look to this in your troubles? Because, you know, we all face our former sins, right, Cecile? You've talked with me, and we all face this. Paul says that we are ashamed of our former deeds. Sometimes they haunt us in our lives. We remember, oh, the things I used to do. Am I really saved? Well, whoop, the flash of the light. You see it through the storm. He says, I've washed you here of all of your sins. But we might think as Christians, we were washed in our baptisms, but since then, we're living in a field, a world of dirt. Don't you feel all stained? You know, you were washed once long ago, but then you look at your life, and indeed, you think, but look at me, Lord. Surely you can't have forgiven. And even if I were saved in baptism and forgiven and washed daily, I'm going to get her. Ready? Daily, I feel so filthy. And the devil comes and says, look. Look how you're a sinner. Paul says, I can will the right thing, but I can't do it. Evil lies close at hand when I want to do the right thing. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? What does God call you to when you think of your present filth and sin? He says, look through the night air. Look through the torrential downpour of the devil's accusations. Remember that you once were washed, and I continually and daily, ritually forgive you all your sins and wash you of all that filth of the world until you're spotless. It's a daily relationship. Into his name you are baptized, and I'm yours, you're mine, daily, richly. You're washed in the blood of Christ. This is strong confidence. I mean, every day I'm like, I don't feel clean. I see my sins, but God says, look to the lights flashing to you, woo to you. The lighthouse says, you are baptized. You are indeed washed. Rejoice. That's what we hear Paul at his baptism. Ananias said to him, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So you're indeed washed. Thirdly, ready for a third one there, Ginger? Ginny? Let's take a look at the third one is, how about forgiven? Are you actually really indeed forgiven in baptism? Acts chapter 2, Peter says at Pentecost, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So what is there happening in baptism? There's a washing away of your sins. So I take this one out for you. Here's God. Here's you. Your relationship was supposed to be like this. It was broken and a great distance between the two. What happened in baptism, friends? God closed the distance. He says, I forgive you your sins. Therefore, there's nothing that stands between us anymore. I bring us back together again. And I'm not just bringing two blocks of wood together. God, he actually so seals these two, like with epoxy from heaven, that it's stronger than if there were just an original piece of wood. I mean, it's like cement. It cannot be broken. This is forgiveness. Does that happen in there? Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the forgiveness of your sins. Are you forgiven? Are you reconciled? Am I really God's own? Let's put this up here. When that storm comes in and you wonder if you're reconciled to God, God says, look to this. Look to that light shining through the night sky, through the waves, peel that pelting rain from your eyelids and say, I see the flash that says, I am indeed forgiven. I have been baptized in his name. That's what Martin Luther did when the devil attacked him. He took out his baptismal certificate and said, look, devil, I am baptized. Get away from me. I'm forgiven. Fantastic. Fourthly, in baptism, you actually get new life. You get born again. For we read that we're saved when we believe, and born again because he came to his own home. His own people didn't receive him, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So are you, actually, Joy, are you born again the moment you believe in Jesus Christ? Absolutely, John chapter 1. But you know what? That's a means of grace. The preaching of the gospel. So also in baptism, a means of grace, it is said of this as well, you get born again at that time. Because John 3, Jesus says, "And truly, truly, I say to you, unless one be born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom." Born of water and the Spirit. Are you born again? You look at baptism, you say, "I am born of water and the Spirit. I can indeed enter. I have, if you will, the passaporte to go to that celestial city, the better country." Let's take a look at Titus chapter 3. It says there, "We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray," says Paul, "slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy by the washing of regeneration." Say the word regeneration.
Regeneration.
"And renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we might be justified by his grace. And become heirs in hope of eternal life, the saying is sure." Am I born again? Well, here we go. We got a baby. You were born again in these waters, a child of the living God, marked and on the ark, forgiven, redeemed, washed, cleansed for heaven. But he doesn't just leave you a little baby. He grows you up into the fullness of the stature of Christ, day by day to be a man like Christ in the fullness of the Spirit. So that's fantastic. "And you have new life in him. For we were buried with him in baptism, in which we were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. And if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is passed away and the new has come. You're not who you used to be. You are now with his name. And therefore, you're not destined for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you find comfort? Am I giving you comfort today? Are you finding strength? This is what the Lord gives you in baptism. "Then we have God as our Father. We have a new king. We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." And then he gifts you in baptism also his Spirit. I know it's just a little, you know, stuffed animal dove here, but this is what comes in the waters. Peter preached. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promises to you and to your children," etc. So the Holy Spirit has come down and lives inside of you to seal you, to keep you, to be your friend, to see that you get all the way from here, all the way to there, safely and well kept for. So the Holy Spirit has been granted to you in baptism. Look to that. And what does this Holy Spirit do for us? He seals us for the day of redemption. "In him also, you who have believed in the gospel that you've heard, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." If you are on this boat in baptism, he has not only put you on the boat, but like with Noah, he shut the door with his own fingers and sealed it. So what should we do to this baptismal certificate, do you think? I have my own little seal here. This is yours. Jesus says, "Saved. It has got a mark on it. And now we can put this on it, the Holy Spirit's seal, for the day of redemption. You will be saved." And so, what I'm preaching to you then today is we all face difficult times as Christians. Our faith's up one day, down the next. Jesus says to us, God and the Spirit in the Scriptures say, when that storm comes, look at it, when the waves get high And you don't seem to be able to see God's grace anymore. It's obscured by the devil's torrential downpour and clouds. He says, look out and see that light across the sea. Your baptism shining to you daily and flashing to you. Saved, loved, forgiven. I am yours and you are mine. And you will keep looking to this baptism, yours for comfort and assurance, strength and confidence until that day when, well, we get to not need it anymore because we arrive at our destination. We can lower our sails and then live with him there in that happy harbor of the saints, both in heaven and in the world to come. So God's blessings to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Comfort of Being Baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.